Last Sunday was Valentine's Day. And I told Brother Kyle I preached this last Sunday at Elam, our church at home, but I felt like doing it again here talking to you about it. God be my Valentine, or God be my lover, or God is my lover. The love of God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for the love of God? I've said this quite a number of times, years, wherever we've been, that if it were not for the love of God, I wouldn't get to meet you people. And I would have never met Brother Kyle. And I would have never met my wife. But because of the wonderful, glorious love of God, we're here together enjoying His love. Praise the Lord. Enjoying His mercy. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. My, this has been wonderful. And I didn't know if I was even going to get to preach. But I'll do my best to talk to you for a little while. I don't know if it'll be preaching or teaching or just talking. But here it goes. I can see the clock up there a little bit. These lights are so bright. Praise the Lord. Everybody say glory. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. Say, thank you for your love for me. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know where I got this, but I copied it down some time ago from somewhere. But it's a letter from Albert Einstein. I don't know him. I never did know him. Never did meet him. But maybe some of you met him, I don't know. But he wrote this letter to somebody. He said, the universal force is love. Love is light that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Did you get that? Love is power because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. Did you get that? Love unfolds and reveals. For love, we live and die. And then here's his conclusion in this letter. Love is God. And God is love. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad to know God. Praise the Lord. I know I don't know about here in Palm Beach or wherever we are, but I mentioned Valentine's Day, and in the weeks before Valentine's Day, leading up to Valentine's Day, love was marketed in advertisements, street store displays, signboards all along the road. Love was equated with chocolate. I know no one here likes chocolate, but love was equated with chocolate and cards and flowers and romance and jewelry. And yes, love can be demonstrated in these ways. But as followers of Christ, we know that love is so much more, right? Communicating that kind of love to our children in our homes, neighborhoods, and ministries is essential. You know, the dictionary definition of love, just a small part of it, says love, an intense feeling of deep affection, a deep romantic attachment to someone. And there are four kinds of love talked about in the Bible in various ways, and I'll just mention them a little bit. First is the main one, is agape love. Agape is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love, the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. This Greek word and variations of it are found throughout the New Testament. Agape perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus Christ has for his Father and for his followers. John 14:21. And you maybe thought I wouldn't get to the Bible, but I'm going to preach from the Bible. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, Jesus speaking now, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then there's eros love. Eros is the physical, sensual love between a husband and a wife. Although this Greek term does not appear in the Bible, eros love is portrayed in the Old Testament book, the Song of Solomon. God is very clear in his word that sex outside of marriage is forbidden. God created male humans, male and female, and instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. Within marriage, sex is used for emotional and spiritual bonding and for reproduction. Now, the Apostle Paul noted that it is wise for people to marry to fulfill their godly desire for this type of love. And he also said that you might be better off if you have the call of God on your life, like him. I'm not saying me because I'm married, but like Paul said, like me, be better to remain single and not be married. That way you could devote your whole time to the Lord. But I'm sure there are a few married couples here today, and there are probably some singles too that desire to get married. But some just got married. Thank the Lord. So it's fine to get married. God, I thank God many, many times, almost every day, for somehow allowing my wife to find me and marry me. Praise the Lord. We've had a great life together and are still enjoying life. But that was Paul. Then there's philia love. Philia means close friendship or brotherly love in the Greek. It is one of the four types of love in the Bible. Romans 12:10 tells us about it. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, or love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And that's what we all should find doing, is outdoing one another and showing honor. I thank the brother for his talking about his pastor today, lifting up his pastor. That's showing honor, kind of outdoing honor, outdoing what some others thought. But isn't it wonderful to have a great pastor that loves you with all of his heart? Praise the Lord. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, or love one another with brotherly affection. Philia and other forms of this Greek noun are found throughout the New Testament. Christians are frequently exhorted to love their fellow Christians. And Brother Kyle asked us to go around and greet one another and tell them that we love them. And I do. I love all of God's people. I thank God continually that I have friends in the church, in the love of God all around the world. Thank the Lord. And when you get with them, it's always the same. You just want to get better acquainted and associate. Don't you love to associate with people that love God, that know the love of God? My, that's the greatest thing there is. Then there's storge love. Definition of storge is family love, the bond among mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad for what God has given you? None of us deserve the things that we have, but His love. My, I've seen so many people that lives so mixed up, messed up, minds twisted and torn and not knowing where they're going next. And they come into the church and somebody starts talking to them or maybe teaches them a home Bible study, and they come into the church and they find the Lord, they repent and are baptized in the wonderful, glorious, magnificent name of Jesus, which we've been lifted up. And then they're filled with the Holy Ghost, as a sister back there was. Their life changes. It just, the love of Jesus completely changes one's life. Thank the Lord. And then they start beginning to accumulate things that God blesses them with that they never had before. But that great love of God, it's so fantastic. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad to know Him today? But as... Now, talking about storge, or family love, as with eros, this Greek term does not appear in the Bible. However, many examples of family love are found in Scripture, such as the love and mutual protection among Noah and his wife, their sons and daughters-in-law. In Genesis, the love of Jacob for his sons, the strong love of the sisters Martha and Mary for their brother Lazarus, and the strong love of Jesus for Lazarus. Thank the Lord, such love. There's nothing like it. And you see, in the ancient Jewish culture, the family was a vital part of their action and their lifestyle. In the Ten Commandments, God charges His people. I'm going to read to you a verse I read a few moments ago, Exodus 20:12, but out of the NIV. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. Praise the Lord. A few weeks ago in Milwaukee, a house was burning, and this young lady was running into the house yelling and screaming, "Save Mama! Save Mama!" That's kind of the family. I'm talking about family love. Here, this young girl put her life in jeopardy, screaming for help to save her mother, And the young girl later did die in the hospital there in Milwaukee. And then another case, just a few days separated them, was another fire, and a young boy woke up in the house, he didn't know it, but then he started getting all of his family out of the house real quick. But he ran back in to save his younger brother, but he never did come out again. That's some of the family connection, what love I'm talking about, storge love, the love of family together. Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of Almighty God, that great love of God that's brought us all together and causes us to want to help one another and be with one another and serve one another and do for others as we would like others to do for us. My, what a great God we're serving. Praise the Lord. In Paul's theology, love is a consequence of faith in God. When we have sufficient faith and trust in God, the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of love as a sign of what is to come in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Love is thus not a product of human thoughts or emotions. It's not possible for mere humans to experience genuine love. To enjoy real love, you must be filled with the Spirit of God. For love for others comes with His Spirit. Because when His Spirit comes in, that's God coming into you, and God is love. So when God comes into you, that causes you to automatically love people that you never thought about loving before. And even Jesus said, love your enemies. Love those that don't do you good. Go out of your way to show them what real love is. God is love, and to be filled with His Spirit means we're filled with love. Love for others. Thank the Lord. Oh, aren't you glad for a God that loves everybody, that loves you, that loves me, that loves everybody out on the streets. Wherever you may go, there are people that need to know this magnificent love of the Almighty God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's an old song that used to sing a lot. I don't know it, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm not a singer, but I'll mention it. Love lifted me. Did you ever hear that? Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. That's God lifted me when nothing else could help or take care of. Love lifted me. Almighty God. My, He's so wonderful and glorious. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank God. And I just get carried away thinking about the love of God for me anyway. But you know, the same love, He loved me, He loves you. Thank the Lord with that same kind of love. God gave us no better definition of love than in Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad for Jesus? So let's communicate His perfect love at this time of the year and all the year through. Every day doesn't have to be like a week ago, Valentine's Day, where people are trying to communicate love. But you should be communicating love every day. Thank the Lord. Love for your friends. Love for your mate. Love for your wife. Love for your children. Love for your neighbors. Love for the alcoholics. Love for the drug addicts. Love, love for everybody. Thank the Lord. That's what we're to portray. Let people know that there is a way out. That there's freedom. We've been singing about freedom, freedom. Aren't you glad for the freedom that you gained when you were filled with the magnificent Holy Spirit? Oh, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. And I want to tell you today, Jesus desires to be your Valentine or to be your lover. Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, thank the Lord. In a world that's so mixed up and messed up, in a city that's so mixed up and messed up, you can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Him, and you find peace and joy and happiness within. The world can't give it, but my Lord has offered it free of charge. Just call on Him. Just repent and get into the kingdom. He'll bless you. He's forever real. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us today. There's no better lover in this world than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And the thing is, He says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Praise the Lord. John chapter 3, and I'll read a few verses. Start with verse 14. The clock is ticking. John 3:14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Thank the Lord. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Remember, I said there's no greater example of love. "Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My wife and I, we enjoy life. Thank the Lord. And with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have everlasting life. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Always enjoy life. Verse 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." Notice that. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. So we must be careful that we're not condemning the world. You know, if Jesus didn't condemn the lady taken in adultery, but had mercy on her. If Jesus didn't condemn his accusers, if Jesus didn't condemn the man of which we think Peter's the one that cut off his ear, and Jesus didn't condemn that man that had come to arrest him, he reached down and picked it up, put it right back in place, made him whole again. Thank the Lord. He didn't condemn him. If he didn't come to condemn, we're not to condemn. He came to love, therefore we're made to love. Thank the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad somebody came and taught me the truth. Well, actually, I was born into a home that believed in the Lord. Thank the Lord. Such love. Such love. He laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:1. See that what great love the Father has lavished on us. He just pours it out on us. That we should be called, and here's what I like, be called children of God. He loved us so much. I know Manuel Wilson Rogers Jr. quite well. And that Jesus would pour out his love and call me his child. And I was thinking about it earlier this morning. You know, thinking about the family, and I talked about the family a while ago. We're all connected in the same family. You know, I've told many people just before I baptized them, I said, now when you go down in this water, in the name of Jesus, and you come up, I'll just use a name. I said, your name will no longer, well, I'll use my wife's name, Mary Fern Newstrand, but it'll be Mary Fern Newstrand Rogers. Now I have to add that in it. But the last name will be Jesus. Thank the Lord. So when you're buried in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we have, and he said he's coming back for people called by his name. And that's how you get his name. Thank the Lord. And that's who he's coming back for. This family right here. For all of you that have that wonderful name of Jesus applied to you, that's who he's returning for. He's going to come. The trump of God's going to sound. And all of these Jesus name people are going to be caught up to meet him, and so shall we ever be with him. Oh, what a great future the Church of the Living God has before her. Aren't you glad to be a part of it today, right now? We're a part of the great Church of Almighty God. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. 1 John 3:16. So this is how we know what love is. You want to know how you want to know what love is? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's the part that kind of, oh, we love the part that he laid down his life for me. I love that. My love, lay down my life for somebody else. Well, that's what Jesus did. And he is a true lover. Thank the Lord. He is love. Thank the Lord. 1 John 4:7-12, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Thank the Lord. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, we talk a lot about the Apostle Paul. You know, for a while, he certainly did not love God. You know, he had no love for the Lord. Matter of fact, people that loved Jesus were his enemies. He was out to kill them. He was out to persecute them. But look what Jesus did in his life. Thank the Lord. He picked up, I guess we could say, a murderer or one that was pronouncing death on people and putting them in prison. And his life was completely changed. And he became a real lover of souls, of people. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad for the love of God today? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And then the last verse is verse 13. Now, again, I'm in the NIV, which some of you have heard this many times. You might have heard it when you got married. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. In the 13th verse, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Praise God. John 15, 12 through 16. Now I'm back to the King James, which maybe some of you are glad for that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Thank the Lord. Of course, another old song. Sing a lot, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Thank the Lord. You know, he takes care of us. Praise the Lord. I mentioned that my wife and I have been married 60 years. We've been preaching, and I've been in Wisconsin pastoring for over 50 years. And it's a long story how I ended up in Wisconsin, so I won't talk about that. But how God has taken care of us, it's been fantastic. God will take care of you. One time years ago, I'd pastored a small church down in Arkansas for a year. I wanted to go home. Mosier City, Louisiana is my home. I wanted to go home, see Mom and Dad. We hadn't been there for a while. And as one saying goes, we were poor as Job's turkey. Never how poor that was, but I didn't fill the car up with gas before I left, and I didn't even check my billfold. I had so little anyway, but I could see we were about to run out of gas, and I pulled into a service station, and they wouldn't take a check, and that was before credit card days, so I had to get in the car. I went to a bank there in that little town. They wouldn't take a check from out of town. So I told my wife, I said, well, we'll just have to trust the Lord that we'll get there. So we headed on to Bossier City. And I knew where a service station was where I could charge gas to my dad. And and so I said, well, I'll go to Mr. Harton's service station. He'll let me fill the car up with gas. And we were sitting, and I had to cross over the couple lanes of traffic to get into his station. And as I crossed over the two lanes of traffic, the car sputtered. But I had enough momentum that I coasted right up to the gas pump. And I filled the car up with gas. And, of course, Mr. Harton let me charge it to Dad. I told Dad about it and also... But what I'm saying is how God takes care of you. And then at the same time, when it came time for us to leave to go back to Arkansas, I went by my dad's office, and a friend of dad's was there, which happened to know me. He and dad had known each other before they were married. They'd been lifetime friends. But his name was Oscar, and Oscar said, "Here, Manuel," he called me Little Manuel, "something I've been wanting to send to you." And he just shoved it down in my pocket. And I went on, thought, "Well, thank you, Oscar, and appreciate it." And got in the car, and I told my wife, I said, "Oscar put something in my pocket." And I pulled it out, and it was $5 $10 bills. Back then, in the 50s, that was a lot of money for me because I didn't have any. But how the Lord takes care of you if you're faithful to Him. Thank the Lord. He's such a wonderful God. You know, I could never stop serving Him. His love has been so, so wonderful. It is still wonderful. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." Just to think I'm a friend of God. You know, that blows my mind that the Almighty God would want me to be His friend, would call me His friend. Thank the Lord. Verse 15, John 15, verse 16. This is the one that touches me, excuse me, but Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." "And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you." Of course, this has been quite a number of years ago. But it was four of we boys, teenage boys, that we're in the church together, and on Sunday afternoon, one Sunday every month, I think it was, but a lady preacher in our church held jail service, and we always went with her to jail service in Shreveport, Louisiana. And after that service that morning, or that afternoon, we four boys went to the church, and we were praying, just praying as we knew to pray. And I happened to open my Bible, and it opened up to John 15:16. And so that's stayed with me all these years. And I've confessed that probably that's when I first thought maybe God was calling me to be a preacher, which I had other plans. I had no desire to be. My father was a preacher and all, but I read that verse to those other boys and we talked about it. But just to think that God chose me and He's allowed me these years to represent Him. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:8. In the NIV says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Thank the Lord. Such love. Where can you find such love? How can you really describe it? How can you really understand it? Romans 8:37, still in the NIV. "No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your love for me. I thank you, dear God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, and still in the NIV. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, his love is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And whoever was going to help me with a song, you can get ready. We'll close with just a few more comments. Ephesians 5:1. Yeah, still in NIV. Follow God's example. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Somebody made a statement, just jotted it down. Love requires sacrifice. I mentioned earlier my father was a preacher. As children growing up, you know, mom and dad took good care of us. But normally on Sunday, a lot of Sundays after church, we had fried chicken. Which that's not unusual for Pentecostal preachers, you know. But I always wondered, Dad he'd let all we boys, there was three of us at this time, and Mom, and he'd let us take our piece of chicken first. And he'd always take the back and the neck. And I could not understand that. You know, the back and neck. To me, there was hardly anything on it worth eating. You know, the back and the neck of the chicken. But I realized later that Dad wanted to be sure that we children got the best part. I had wonderful parents. They taught me so much. Dad taught me how to love my wife by the love that he showed toward my mother. I've told this before. He'd go to buy a gift for mother. He took me with him. He'd always pick out a sales lady that was about the size of mother and his wife and say, I need something that you can wear, because that's just the size. You're about the size of my wife. Mother taught us a lot. They both taught us how to pray. Dad used to take me to prayer on his way to work early in the morning. And then when we get through praying, he would take me by and let me off at school. Come home from school, get off the bus, and run in the house, headed for the kitchen. Mother would generally have a snack, but one day she wasn't in the kitchen. I found her in the living room, on her knees. with her Bible open. And then I heard these words, "Lord, please save Manuel. Don't let him be lost." They taught me how to pray. There was a mission service, and I only know this story because I heard him tell it. But he was an usher, and Mother was on the piano playing. And he turned to her when they were taking up an offering for the missionary, and he just held his hand up. That meant $5. Mother looked at him, and $5, that was her grocery money for the next week for the family. Don't you wish you could buy with $5 your family's groceries for a week today? But that's all they had. But she said she reached down and opened her purse, took out the $5. Gave it to the Lord for the missionary. The next day, Dad got a phone call or somebody stopped by, and he got a job, a side job that paid, it just took him a little while to do it. They paid him $20. They taught me how to give. Oh, the love of God. How rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Shall we stand? Your lover. He's here today.
Come on, church.
He loves all of you.
Come on,
everybody, just come around. Take a few minutes before you leave and just make love to him. Jesus, I love you.
We've heard a great message on
love. But I thank you for your love for me, Lord.
Step out from where you are and make your way down.
Thank you, Lord. Won't you come make love to him? If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, he's here today. Make your way down. Invite him into your heart. He'll come in to stay and take care of you. His love forevermore endures.
The saints and angels.
Come on, let's make our way down. What a message. What a message we've heard about the love of God today. He loves you and me. Come on, he loves you and me. Let's come express our love to him. Let's come express our thanks to him. Take a few minutes on this lovely afternoon. Come tell the Lord how much you love him. You've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. He's given us a spirit of love. Why don't you come let God fill you with his spirit? You come reach out to him. You'll feel his power. You'll feel his love. You'll say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. While you were yet sinners, he died for you. He shed his blood for us when God wasn't even on our mind. I'm here to tell you there's nothing you've done that will stop God from loving you. Why don't you come and express your love to him? Come give your heart to him. That's in your life. He said, if you're heavy laden and burdened, come to me. Just come to him right now. Just come to him right now. Church, let's open up our hearts. Let's open up our hearts. Think of all the incredible things that God has done for you. Lover of my soul. He's the lover of our soul. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There are many ways that God can love you, but he has never loved you greater than when he chose you to be a part of the kingdom. Because when the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost and he baptized you in his name, what he was doing was allowing us to partake of Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The epitome of the love of God was when he allowed his son, his flesh, to suffer and die on that cross. And the epitome of the love towards me and you is when he allowed that blood to wash away our sins. I want to tell you the greatest experience of love that you can ever receive from God is if you will give him your heart and your life here today. If you're in this building and you have never turned your life over to the Lord, yield yourself up to him. It is not the will of God that any man should perish. He will call you in. We can baptize you in the name of Jesus. We have a baptismal out there, warm, ready to go. We will bury you in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will be applied. The love of God will be applied. You'll come up out of that water a new creature in Christ. And the glory of God, the gift of God, the love of God will come upon you. And he will fill you with his Spirit. And he will give you love. He will fill you with his love. We're going to worship the Lord in this song for a little longer. God wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. He wants to minister to you. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, and you would like to be, just mention it to someone, anyone that's next to you. And they'll say, absolutely. And they'll make sure that pastor finds out, ministry finds out. We'll put you in a robe. You say, but I didn't come ready. It doesn't matter. We have everything you need. Everything you need to be baptized. And robes and towels and water. And we'll bury you in Jesus' name. You will experience the love of God on a level that you cannot imagine. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. One more time. Let's sing this song. Whatever we're going to sing. One more time, church. Every mind on God. Let's close this service out.